This is Believe in Buckeyes. I'm Brian Browning.
And I'm Chimby Chukwu.
And it is the night before the Michigan game, for the game for us Buckeyes.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about, like, why this game always has so much more emotion than the other games. And, you know, as you think about it, this week leading up to this game always feels like it's the longest week compared to all the other games, because there's so much tradition. There's so many things we do in preparation for the game.
Yeah, that's just a fact. It kind of starts off usually Sunday afternoon. You just finished the game and you just had your little practice to kind of get yourself flushed back out after playing the game. And then you had the band, the best band in the land, yep. The best damn band in the land comes in. You get to kind of spend some time
with them, man. Marching around with them. You know, you get somebody out the crew doing being the drum major or whatever for a little minute. And then you also have the scout team, so the guys who are going to be playing the Michigan players, getting the starters ready to play the game. They have to go in their locker room.
Yep.
And create pretty much a Michigan uniform,
yep.
Starting with the wing helmets.
Yeah, starting with the wing helmets, right. Yeah, if you got the blue tape, you know, you still keep it real. I have no new helmet.
Yeah,
you get the blue tape in there, and they got the little yellow thing that kind of make that signal. We looked it up, right? It's called the winged helmet. Michigan's been doing it since 1938. Something to do. It's probably leather helmet back then, right?
Yeah, but something to do about awful ugly helmets.
Yeah, god awful ugly helmets. Something to do about quarterbacks being able to see open wide receivers. And I imagine if you were a Michigan quarterback, you probably struggle with that. So I get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, right. You need some extra help to be able to locate your player
compared to the other guy. I get it.
I remember our freshman year having to go in there. I think we took on the opportunity to get our guys ready, but also take on the enemy's persona a little bit, put the helmets on. I went out there against Ted Ginn my freshman year and gave him hell. You know what I'm saying? And it worked. You know, he performed in the game. You feel me?
Right. I remember myself. I had to be I wasn't as good as a player was, but I had to beat Jake Long. At the top of the scout line, I was the best offensive lineman. And I usually play guard in practice, but they're like, we need the best guy at left tackle, so they kicked me out. And I was supposed to be Jake Long. I had to block Jay Richardson.
And Vern.
I
remember Vern, like, pushing Jake Long into the quarterback.
Yeah,
so that was our second year.
I stepped it up. But my first year, you know, when I was on scout team, I remember playing that role. You know, when we had to put on those wing helmets for that long week, like you said, that long week. But it was a good tradition, like you said, kind of get your blood flowing, get you into the game. Let you know, hey, this is the real deal. The deal is on the way.
We'd also have speakers come in and talk to us, man.
Yep.
And the late Earl Bruce.
Yep, the late great Earl Bruce. Yeah,
would come in and give us some motivation. I'm gonna be honest. He come in there and say a whole lot of stuff, and I don't know not one thing he was saying.
You know, Remember what he just say? It was a whammy. He's talking about a whammy, man. But it was always.
It was just energy.
It was energy. Kurt Bruce would come in, and to be honest, it was always a great conversation.
Yeah.
He had some jokes, like some Michigan jokes on, usually about toughness to smartness type of jokes you have. And he just talk about 1 yard equal 2 yards, 2 yards equal 4. Offense, if you have a mistake, it's okay because you can get those yards back. Defense, you can't have a mistake because you can't get those yards back. And yeah, so I always respect to Coach Bruce for always coming in and giving
great
that
respect,
up.
Man.
Yep.
Yeah, it was dope, man. Gave us high energy. And then we'd have a senior tackle that week.
Right, senior tackle. And right, when we was in school, Jack Tatum, one of the greatest safeties ever
played
the game.
Great Jack Tatum.
The Oakland Raider, the great Ohio State Buckeye, the great Oakland Raider, he'll come in and he'll talk to us. And just like once again, we're talking about tackling. We're talking about one of the best, most fierce tacklers ever coming in and talking to us. And also, I guess we need to explain a little bit more about the senior tackle for people who doesn't know what the senior tackle is. We want to kind of give a little bit on that.
And senior tackle was great. So senior tackle was an opportunity to kind of recognize the seniors. It was an emotional time, right? It'll be post-practice. One of the things that was special about it is you have some of the players come up and speak about each of the seniors, right? And just talk about what that individual meant to them, what they meant to the team. And then after they speak, there'll be a like a pad up, a dummy up, whatever. And that guy will run through his team. The team would be split up on each side. Mm. He'll run through the middle, and he'll kind of do his last tackle.
Yeah, hit of the dummy.
Yes, he hit the dummy. Kind of symbolize kind of last. You know, that last time you're gonna do that practice with your teammates.
And one thing that always made it a little bit special, if you remember, you never knew who had you. Right, so as a senior, everybody kind of start trembling and trying to anticipate, like, who you think got who, and you know, who's going to go up there and, you know, be able to get that great speech. And that was always another thing, too, where you didn't know which underclassman was going to get up, speak about you and get address before you got a chance to
and
get that tackle.
It was emotional, man. And on top of that, having Jack Tatum come and him being a DB, and look, the things that Jack Tatum did on the football field are outlawed. You can't do them anymore.
Outlawed.
You can't do them. But he come in there, and he speak, and it would be the most eloquent collection of cuss words I have ever heard in my life. It would be about 85 to 90% cusses, and somehow it all made sense.
Yep.
And, you know, he was older at that time. He still looked young.
Yeah, looked good. He had the dreads. Great dreads. Yep.
However, the way he spoke, it was clear how he played. Like, he spoke. Like, if you watch him play and you think about what does that sound like in words, that's how he came and spoke to us. And even though we couldn't do the things he was saying in the game, like, it got you hyped up and pumped up for the game.
That's correct. And that was always special. You knew Tatum was coming.
Yeah.
I got a couple calls. I'm not going to say them on here. Try to keep it clean, like you say. But, he definitely – he embodied it. He knew what it took to be a Buckeye and to play in that game and what it meant to him. He had success. He had upset in that game, and he lived it. He showed it. And then also, playing the game, you beat Michigan – you get a set of gold pants. And that was always special. I threw mine on today, a set of mine. I believe this is from my junior year. We won 42-7. We beat them pretty good that day. But that was always another thing, a little bit of something for that game. Obviously, been a tradition for a while here at Ohio State. And, you know, usually when you meet somebody and you tell them you played Ohio State, one of the first questions they ask you, hey,
how many pairs of gold pants you got?
And we were fortunate to get five. Five pair of gold pants, undefeated against Michigan. So, so let's talk about the differences, because there's always a little bit of difference to the game playing at Michigan or playing at home against Michigan.
Right. And, Michigan having – first of all, the Michigan game is your last game in regular season.
Right.
So either it's going to be – in your own home stadium, was going to be away. When you look at it away, Michigan having probably, I think they seat the most out of all college stadiums. Yeah, I believe they seat the most. They have those benches fit
110,000
plus people.
Yep.
So there's a bunch of fans there. I know it's been in the news lately, but they have one tunnel.
Yeah.
And pretty much both locker rooms are pretty much across from each other. Mm-hmm. So when you go out there to warm up, if you go out early to go kind of, you know, get a feel for the field and all that stuff, you're walking out there with the guys that you pretty much hate, right?
Yep.
If you didn't hate them prior to the week, by the time you get through this week with all the tradition and all the talking and Jack Tatum coming in and saying, F them.
Mm-hmm. Eric Bruce coming in,
you know what I'm saying?
F them.
You hate them.
Yeah.
So you walking in that tunnel just thinking, I dare somebody to look at me crazy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But we hadn't had, outside of, you know, my dog Grant Shorts,
yeah, he got a little shove, back and forth there.
Yeah, outside of that, we didn't have a lot of tussles in the, not too many in the, in that tunnel.
But if you recall, Evercom at Michigan, when you're coming out, they are barking at you.
Yeah.
In the locker room. You know, the away team always gets to come out first, so when you're coming out, they're right there, and they usually got a couple of rah-rah guys up front acting like, they're Michigan. But you know, that's always a part of it. But you know, then you go out there for us. You go out there, you beat them on their field. The 110, they get quiet.
They get super quiet.
And at the end of it, we celebrate.
How is it out there? Yeah. Just talk about, like, how loud is it at Michigan? Because so, to me, it's not.
It's not. It's not the loudest. if I recall, like, and usually for it to be loud, it's like the shape of the stadium, right? So with Michigan, I remember you kind of you walk down that tunnel, so you're kind of low. But the way the tunnel sit, I mean, the way the stadium sits, they don't sit on top of you. They kind of like kind of edging out, right? Yeah. So it wasn't super loud.
It's not the loudest stadium. It's a lot of people. Yeah, obviously, if things is going good. And then, you know, they got some energy going. It could get really loud.
Right.
However, comparing it to, you know, some of the other places you play.
Right.
It's not necessarily the loudest stadium, even just compared to the Shoe.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the Shoe.
It doesn't reach the same level consistently that you have in the Shoe on during big games.
During big games, right. Yeah, I would definitely say that. But obviously, it's always was fun to beat them on their field.
Their senior day.
Trying to spoil their senior day. Always a lot of hoorah around that game. And I remember our second year, you might have played a little bit. I know I played field goals. We scored 14 points our year two.
I played a lot that game. They was good. I remember a receiver. They had Manningham. Arrington. They had two quarterbacks. I think they had, was it Henny?
You had a bunch of guys that came back.
They had coming back
their senior year to beat Ohio State, and they lose the first game to Appalachian State. That was that year for them. So
they had Henny, and they had the other quarterback who played for the Patriots and also played for Arkansas, and we played our senior year.
Mallett.
They had Ryan Mallett, so they was rotating there. They still had Mike Hart.
Mike Hart,
I came on a blitz, and Mike Hart caught me slipping, you know what I'm saying? He said he had some choice words for me too while I was on the ground. I won't continue to hold that grudge.
but they had Jake Long, so
if I see him, I might fight him. But I'm, you know,
right.
It's
right.
On site.
We know he's gonna be at on Saturday if you want to. You want to try to set something up? No, just jokes. But it's different though. But as in now playing at home, the emotions there playing at home
is.
It's different, right?
It's different because you talk about the traditions all week. You have the traditions all week. One thing we didn't talk about was the Mirror Lake jump. Where, you know, everybody on campus go down to Mirror Lake, jump in the lake. It's typically freezing cold.
Right, it's November in Ohio. It's freezing cold.
Yeah, it's at night and everybody's jumping in there.
I never jumped in. It's like almost part of my tradition.
We had some teammates jump in. Some guys didn't expect to play.
Right. Younger guys jump on. Yep.
Especially their last year. You're like, sure, I need to get one Mirror Lake jump in. You get to the game. It's your senior day. And that kind of – the thing about being a senior, so the Michigan game is the Michigan game.
Right.
But when it's your senior year and it's your last game – every one of these traditions is different. You soak them all in from the band march, right? You know, you marching with purpose with the band. Senior tackle is about you. You know what I'm saying? Earl Bruce's words, Jack Taylor's words. And then you get the senior day.
Mm-hmm.
You got the parents on the field.
Yeah, you're paying your loved ones.
Right? They announce you. They talk about you a little bit. They announce you. You get to run across the field.
You got the Tunnel of Pride. You got all your former players out there. So Tunnel of Pride, people don't know. Basically, all your former players, anybody who wanted to come that used to be a Buckeye, they're lined up. They're kind of making a wall for you to run through. And so you're seeing your brothers out there, guys. You went to war in this game and practice and. On tons of games, you won Big Ten champions with. Yeah. They're fired up.
And that's the biggest difference between playing away that last game is that you did the senior day the week before. Senior day almost felt like the season ended, and then you got a plus one.
Yeah.
When you play away, but when you play at home, it's the end of the season, and it's like, this is my last time playing in the Shoe.
The last time
is against Michigan. The senior day kind of delays the game a little bit, right? So you really kind of get a chance to take it all in, which I'm happy that our last time playing in the Shoe was the Michigan game because I really got to take it all in.
Yep.
And, man, so much emotion.
So much emotion. And obviously for us, we went out there, we played well, right? We had throwback jerseys on.
Throwbacks on.
We beat Michigan.
My emotions were running high early. I got tired fast. And then Rich riding that team, they ran that hurry up too. So I had to settle down after the first drive. And then I started, got back into the game. But my emotions was high.
Bro. Yeah.
Like it was like one of those bittersweet moments where it was like, you know, this is a great opportunity, great game.
Yeah.
But this is it.
This is it.
This is what everything has done. This is what it all amounts to. Is this win.
Right.
I mean, this last game. And you hope it's a win.
You hope it's a win.
If it's not,
right.
Good God.
And you hope you play well.
Right.
You play bad in that last game. Like, man, this is the last thing people going to remember from me at Ohio State, giving up this opportunity, this place on that nature. But, like I said, we was able to take care of business and obviously come out with the win, which is, you know, that's the ideal. So, I guess now we kind of start talking about a little bit, but let's talk about playing in that game. The toughness factor. It's the last game of the season. It's Ohio, Michigan. It's cold. There's weather involved.
Yep.
Like, let's talk about what it takes to kind of actually play in that game. All the traditions and stuff is over with.
Right.
The emotions and you settle back down now, and now you're just playing. You're in the game against Michigan. Like, what do you recall from those moments and playing in those games?
Trying to settle down and actually execute.
Yeah.
I think that's really to start the game, because I think in this game, maybe more than others, being able to start fast is important. Because it just everything feels like the stakes just feel so much higher.
Yeah.
So being able to settle down, use that energy, that emotion, but be able to settle down, focus in, lock in, and actually execute to start the game. I think guys find that challenging at times, man. Because everybody's so pumped up for the game, and they just out there. And football, at the end of the day, in football, it don't matter. It don't matter what it is. All that toughness, all that stuff is great. At some point, you got to execute. You got to do your job to perform well, for real.
Yeah, and I recall it as well. You know, I was an offensive lineman, so I really feel like that game is won in the trenches. So, like, if we are not doing well as an offensive line, as a unit, and their defensive line is making plays, we'll lose the game. And I mean, that's most football games, but, you know, you just really feel it on your shoulders, and you expect your defensive line to kind of make some plays against their guys.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, Vern, remember that time we played up there, Vern got a couple sacks against Jake Long. It was like, this is their best guy, this is that. And Vern make those plays, it really felt good, right?
It felt good for everybody.
We beat their best guy. We beat them. So this is always a tough fought game. Michigan has a lot of great guys up front. I can recall us playing against Brandon Graham. He's a Super Bowl MVP with the Eagles. I think pretty sure he's still playing. There's a ton of other guys up front that went on and had successful careers in the NFL. I got to bring up this story. It's kind of a funny story. So this is our junior year, our redshirt junior year, our fourth year. We're playing at Michigan, our last game at Michigan. We had a Brandon Graham check. Our bread and butter play is running power.
Yep.
So we line up and we run power against any front, no matter what. This is our play. We run it no matter what. We had a Brandon Graham check because Brandon Graham on the backside was making a ton of play tackles all year. He just kind of screeching off the edge, tackle for loss, unblocked, and running power. You know,
Brandon
it's a
Graham
chance
was a dog,
he can do that, right? So we wanted to run power at Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
Practicing all week. We're gonna run power at Brandon Graham. So Jake Ballard's at tight end. Brandon Graham is on the backside. So we got to check the play. Check the play. Jake get up. He motions to the other side. Brandon Graham gets up and motions to the other side. Let me check the play again. So we checked it like two or three times. You know, obviously it's a clock. So eventually TP's like, we just got to snap it. So it's a power play. So me and when a power, the backside guard pulls to the front side.
Yeah.
At the snap, me and Justin don't know the play. We both pull. And it's a covered out situation. Like, the ball's, like, on our own, like, 5-10-yard line.
So did Graham end up, but did he end up on the backside?
He ended up, I don't even recall. I just remember pulling, and me and Justin looking at each other like, oh, God. Like, what we about to do? So we jump out of each other's way, and somehow, boom, squirts up and still makes, like, 3 yards. And
okay, boom.
Okay. Boom made it right.
Shout out to Boom.
Yeah, that. But you know, I just want this is a funny story. Attention game playing against Michigan at Michigan, man. But like I said, it's always a tough fought game up front. Yeah. Those guys are coming. We're bringing it, and you know, we just want to win it in the trenches. Want to win it in the trenches, man.
I remember one year they lined up the quarterback Denard Robinson at receiver.
Oh.
And I'm trying to. I remember during the game thinking like, what did they see on film to think? Oh, we gonna put shoelace? They called him shoelace out here at receiver against Ohio State's best corner, and we gonna run a go route.
Yeah,
it was a pick. I ain't pick it. I tipped it, and then Kirk Coleman came and picked it off.
That's what Kirk do. Kirk Coleman catch it.
I wasn't the catcher. I was, you know what I'm saying? I did my job. I tipped it to Kirk. Yeah. And Kirk did the rest. But I was like, man.
But that's part of the game as well, though. If you recall, I recall from when I was in school, it would be certain stuff we practiced since camp.
Right.
Fall, pre-camp. All year. We practice it. And we never call it. Sometimes if we had a different formation, we never line up in it. And then the Michigan game, it's time to execute it.
I remember being on a scout team my freshman year, and I'm like, man, they keep running this play every week. And I ain't seen them run it one time in the game. That Michigan game come, and it's a tailgate show, man.
So that's always a big part of the game as well.
And it should be a big part this year, man. Yeah. I believe, if we preview this game coming up.
Right.
I believe Ryan Day has some stuff cooked up that he hasn't been showing all year, and he's gonna showcase it come tomorrow. You know, remember, Harbaugh had the statement that, you know, some guys are born on third base or something like that.
Yeah, I think they hit a home run.
They hit a triple or something like that. So you got to think that made Ryan Day feel some type of way, man. I think he got some stuff cooked up. So I'm looking forward to a double-digit win for Ohio State on my end.
I got you. I'm feeling the same. I feel like, first of all, I guess I mentioned the difference in last year to this. Last year they had essentially one guy that I think was number two, number three in the draft, and Hutchinson. I can't think of the defensive end name, but he was going to be a first-round draft pick most likely. Then he got hurt in training. I think towards Achilles in training leading up to the draft. I still think he still went like second or third round, something early like that. But though they had big games last year, to be honest. It was very disruptive.
Yeah.
I haven't seen off the tackles really. They played really well all year until that game. It had some other really good guys. And to be honest, those guys were disruptive. So I believe we'll be able to protect up front a lot better. Michigan is going to try to run the ball, but I feel like we will win big. So I'm thinking a classic Coach Day out there.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get to the 40. I'm thinking he'll score like 42 points. If I had to put a number on it, I'm going 42 to – I have 14 in my head. I feel like I said that a lot, but I'm going to give him 17. Like they got a really good field goal. Field goal kicker won them last game. He'll make something.
I'm about to say, I think 38-17 is my predictive score. I think it doesn't feel as close as that, though. I think it feels like Ohio State really pulls away. Michigan, their style of offense and their style of play, I think they control the ball a little bit.
Right.
And not to get out of hand, but I think Ohio State takes care of him in this game.
Yeah,
and like you said, Day has a day.
Yeah, he has a day. Yeah, and obviously Coach Harbaugh, he's gonna have something planned as well. You know, he understands this game. He lost a lot of these games. Obviously, he was able to.
But this
get
is
a
where
win.
Jim Knowles comes in. Man.
Right.
This is
when
Knowles
comes
have.
In.
Yeah. This is what we didn't have last year. I think Jim Knowles is also ready for this game.
Yeah.
I think he's taking on the rivalry. And I think he's well aware, being an older coach who's been around for a while, understanding like this is probably it. This is like the top of where he wanted to get to,
right?
Being a coach at Ohio State, so I think he's taking it on. He understands the importance, and I think that defense is going to be ready to play.
I got what you think about Blake Corum, man. We got to talk about he's a Heisman hopeful running back. I think he has like over 1,400 yards, but last week he still got over 100 yards. But he did have a weird fall of the knee. He only played, I think, rushed the ball once, second half for Illinois. Still was productive. Got 5 yards then, but he didn't play the rest of the game. And now everybody's, I think even on Michigan side and Ohio State side, we all are about Blake. Because he's going to be able to go this week, which is really obviously their best player.
I'm not sure he's able to go, and if he is, I'm not sure he's able to be as effective as he has been. I think that's going to impact their chances significantly, given that, you know, him in his own right, he should be a Heisman Trophy candidate,
right.
The way he's been playing this year. So I don't think he's going to be either be able to play or – because I think if he was able to play, I think we would know. I think it would be clear. Blake is playing.
Right.
Like, Corum is playing, and he's going to be out there, and he's going to – The silence about it is more, we don't want to let them know, tip our hat, or whatever. I don't think he's really able to play. And if he is, I don't think he's going to be able
to be productive. Effective. Yeah. I will say this. I will say that I've seen clips, obviously. You know, you got to keep an eye. What they say, you got to keep your enemies close. You know, whatever. So I see a lot of Michigan stuff. So the next year, I just knew on Saturday, Sunday, the guy was out handing out turkeys, man. He was out carrying turkeys into people's cars, dropping off bags.
Yeah. He didn't have a brace on. You ever play running back?
No, I never played running back before. He had a brace on. He had like some, I don't know, sneakers on. He was dropping off turkeys. That's all I can say. He was carrying things that was heavy.
Listen. I played corner. And when I hurt my knee or my hamstring or my quad, there's a lot of stuff I could do. I could go play a hoop game, bro.
Yeah.
But I could not get on that field and play corner. Not for four quarters, bro. It's a different level in the game, though. Yeah, like this ain't Northwestern.
Right. Yeah.
This ain't Purdue.
Yep.
They're trying to take his head off.
Yeah.
They're taking his knees out.
They're taking his knees out.
So I don't know. We'll see.
I haven't seen the backups of Michigan play much this year. Obviously, Blake was their workhorse, but from a quick glance, they're definitely not Blake Corum. I don't know how good those guys are. So if he's not able to go, huge blow to Michigan. If he's there or not there, I don't think it really much matters. I feel that we're the better team. There's been a lot of push around this game, and I think our guys are really ready to go out and perform. I feel like this is CJ Stroud. You know, he's always basically been the hybrid favorite for most of the year, right?
This is it.
Hooker had a big game that kind of bumped him up, and then, you know, they had a loss, kind of bumped him back down. But really, CJ's been playing really well and consistent, but he really hasn't had
that Heisman moment,
right? Yeah, he hasn't had that game or that pass where it's just like we was in the tough ones and CJ just kind of just made it happen. We all know history, right? You got guys, you know, you play well in this game, that is your Heisman moment. So
that's
I feel Hutchinson
last year, he balled against Ohio State, right. And he was second in the Heisman voting, like over CJ. Which was crazy. But it definitely came down to just that game.
Yeah, and I remember another thing, if you recall, how Desmond Howard and Hutchinson, Hutchinson tried to be grateful, but Desmond Howard really making some, let's call it,
slights.
Not even slights. I mean, coming right out, and really was distasteful, really, because there's a kid here at the Heisman in this big moment and national TV. Right. And he's literally saying, like,
hey,
taking jokes.
Desmond, bro.
Yeah, like, man.
I don't like him, man.
Yeah,
I don't hate him.
Yeah,
I don't like him.
I don't like him either. Yeah, he kind of has some. He seems like a guy that want to be funny, but he's just not that
funny. He's not funny.
It's going to come off bad.
I like C. Woodson, man. Charles Woodson, that's my guy.
Yeah.
That's my guy. I'm going to have some trash talk for him. But to that point, though, Heisman opportunity for CJ.
Yep.
Big Ten championship.
Yep.
On the line.
On the line. You know? Right.
College football playoff.
On the line. Yep.
On the line.
Yep.
However, I feel like win or lose, as long as they keep it relatively close, even the loser should make the college football playoff, in my opinion.
In your opinion.
As long as LSU doesn't go and beat Georgia and USC still looks like who they currently look like to me right now.
I don't think it's going to happen. This is the Big Ten, right? And I feel like you usually only team that really get away with that stuff are SEC teams, right?
Yeah.
They always got this procession, and hell, even the common person would say, like, you know, the SEC is just tough for the player. Like, well, they're kind of top heavy. Usually, you know, two good teams, and everybody else is really in the middle. So, but, you know, this year I think they got, three good teams, right? They got Alabama, who's, due to the coach, you know they got potential, right? LSU, they got two losses. You got Georgia, obviously, they're rolling. And then you got Tennessee, who had, you know, a horrible loss, and now they lost their quarterback. So I don't think.
Yeah, Tennessee is done.
I think they'll be
Tennessee
done.
Tennessee is done. They cut.
Yeah.
Bama, they want to put Bama back in.
There's
no way to make it make sense at this point. And then LSU, who's right there at five. LSU's right at five with two losses. A blowout loss against Tennessee.
Right.
And then another loss to Florida State or somebody out of conference.
Yeah, like week one. Yeah, week one of the bad losses. Somebody that's not.
And then they got to play. They got to play Georgia in the SEC championship. So if they beat Georgia, that's what they're setting them up for.
Right.
So if they beat Georgia, then you get two SEC teams in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if they lose to Georgia, there's really no. I mean, you got three losses. You're out of it.
You know
what I'm saying? So it's really USC who's left, who has one loss.
Right.
Or It's the loser of the
game.
That's the only
It could happen, but I just think they wouldn't let it happen. I feel like they'll make up a reason, almost like how they used to do back in the day. Whoever lost last, you just behind that person. So they would slip in a USC. Obviously, they got the big name. They got a quarterback as well, right? They got a coach that's really good at scoring points as well. So I feel like the loser is going to be out. They're not going to make it make sense. You know, the media, I feel like a lot of times in this stuff, the media, they set the tone on things, right? You know, you just kind of hear it so many times, you start to believe it more or less.
Right.
They wouldn't do that for the loser of this game. They'll just go ahead, have their playoffs without that team, which will fuel you for the next year. But like I said, I don't think there's no chance for Michigan to make the playoffs. I think after this loss, they'll be gone.
That team up north is out.
Right, especially if their running back is nicked, then they play a good style of football. They play a style, but they're just not that explosive when it really comes down to it. So, that's my opinion on it. So
this game, we may have talked about it, but let's kind of end with, what are the keys to victory for Ohio State?
So to me, it's like I said, it's always about the trenches. Looking at last game to this game, we really struggled last year stopping the run, right? They ran the ball at will. Them running the ball at will started to put our DBs on islands, and they hit a couple big passes, but really came down to it. We really didn't stop the run. And they ran the ball, like I say, whenever they felt like it, and they looked really good up front. And I remember their offensive line over this year, they won an award. They got some type of statue up in the weight room they're starting five from last year.
Yeah.
People going to visit them and to talk about offline play, all kind of stuff due to the performance from that game. But I feel like you say Jim knows is a difference maker. So if we are able to go out there and win the early downs, first and second down, we hinder the run. These are short gains, 1 or 2 yards, no gains, tackle for loss, and we get them to 3rd and long situations, 3rd and 8. And McCaffrey has to go out there and make plays and throw the ball to win the game. I feel like that's what we need to happen for us to win the game. And I feel like Knowles will be up for the task and getting the boys to do it. Your thoughts. What do you think needs to happen for us to win?
I think starting fast. So I think Ohio State, when I say we, I'm talking about the Buckeyes.
Yeah, that's us. We.
I think they are a better team at home than they are on the road. Mm-hmm. I think they play better at home. I think last year, I think Michigan started fast and was able to get up, get confident, and really feel like, okay, we really could beat these guys.
Yeah. Right?
I think the need for Ohio State is to start fast, win the first quarter. I think if they win the first quarter, Michigan will never, ever get back in it. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be able to fight. They still have the talent and the ability, but I don't think they have the passing game to be able to go down and really stage a real comeback.
Yeah.
The way they have to come back is slow. And they have to grind it out. And Ohio State's an explosive play team, a team that comes out in the second half, in the third quarter, and goes crazy.
Yeah.
So I think if they win the first quarter, I think it's over.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about predictions, pretty much similar predictions in terms of scoring. So let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. This is 2022 Ohio State versus Michigan, our pregame for it. This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chimdi Chekwa.
Go Bucks.
Oh, wait.
Ayo. We out.